Brothers and sisters, chapters 1 through 31 have centered around how test came to Job, how he reacted, and how he and his friends disputed. The heated disputes among Job and his strange friends only intensified their ill feelings and didn't give Job any solution. We've looked at each of Job and his friends' words and had a time to look back on and discover ourselves. We've realized that disputing is meaningless. We saw how the friends condemned and cursed Job out of envy while he was suffering. The friends came to comfort Job, but they began to point out his faults, began to rebuke. That's why they continually disputed. As time went by, the level of condemnation increased. And what was the reason? Because his friends were jealousy against Job. You have to apply this in your life as well. We sometimes evaluate others or gossip about others, and we are quick to, when we have envy and jealousy, because we have envy, we want to bring down people who are prospering. You may say, you're just evaluating, you're just giving your opinion, but actually, you want him not to go prosper. That's why you criticize and accuse others. You have to realize that we shouldn't become such people. We have to discover such evil and cast it off. When Job was rich, they respected and praised Job, but now they criticized him, even calling his good deeds wrong. How evil that is. They were saying, and they even called Job's good deeds, obviously good deeds, wrong deeds, and how evil they were, we have to know. And how did Job react in dealing with such friends? Job called them evil and cursed and despised them. While listing his merits in the past, Job also claimed, "I'm righteous and without any fault, but God has tricked me with no good reason." Watching how Job spoke and acted, we were able to realize why God had to refine Job. In chapter 32, which we will go over starting today, a young man named Elihu showed up and gave his opinions. Elihu, who silently listened to Job's and his friends' arguments and disputes, abruptly started speaking, and his speech went on until chapter 37. We'll look at what kind of character he had and what meanings his word bore in light of the truth. I urge you to plant what is right in your heart and remove what is wrong from it. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will completely change yourself and cultivate a beautiful and lovable heart and character in God's sight. Brothers and sisters, so far, Job had explained how righteous his heart and deeds were with various metaphors and examples. Initially, his friends refuted each word he said, but at some point, they stopped speaking, which indicates that Job was eloquent with outstanding wisdom. Then, a man named Elihu, who silently listened to their conversations, became enraged all of a sudden. The reason is found in today's passage. Chapter 32, verses 1 through 3 say, "Then these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu burned against Job. His anger burned because he justified himself before God, and his anger burned against his three friends because they found no answer, and yet had condemned Job. First, the reason Elihu's anger burned against Job was that Job justified himself before God. Let me quote a couple of verses where Job did so. Job said in chapter 6, verses 29 and 30, "Even deceased, my righteousness is yet in it. Is there injustice on my tongue?" And in chapter 13, verse 18, "Behold now, I have prepared my case. I know that I will be vindicated." Job even remarked in chapter 27, verse 2, "As God lives, who has taken away my light, and the Almighty who has embittered my soul." Job served God, believing that He is living and Almighty. He did his utmost to guard himself and live a good life. Reflecting upon himself, Job found himself with no fault. As he suffered tremendous disasters, he found his situation so unfair. Because Job thought, "There is none but God who would do this to me," he ended up resenting God. This can be commonly seen in people's daily lives. When most people face misunderstandings without any fault or suffer troubles beyond their comprehension, they cannot bear it. When they have faults, they would accept it. But while they have no fault, if they are misunderstood, they would burn with anger. They will feel extremely upset. They will be overwhelmed with resentment and distress. I think you also have that experience. Moreover, if they are treated unfairly by those whom they've trusted and relied on, how distressed and resentful they become. This was what Job did against Job. But as Elihu saw Job's situation, he didn't think Job was in a situation where he could speak proudly like that. Job had lost his possessions and family members, and his body was in a mess. Seeing Job bragging about himself while being criticized and mocked by many people, Elihu considered it to be wrong and arrogant. As Job went further than that and justified himself before God, Elihu was greatly frustrated. In Elihu's opinion, Job's life wouldn't have been devastated like that unless he committed sins and received God's retribution. He naturally considered Job to be sinful, not righteous. Like the other three friends, Elihu asserted, "Job, if you lived righteously, show me your blessings. If you lived righteously, you should live with the blessings. Because you are definitely sinful, God has punished you." While it was not right for Job to insist on his righteousness, Elihu, who judged and condemned Job, was not right either. If you put yourself in Elihu's shoes, how would you think of Job? Let's say someone around you has gotten stricken with a test, tribulation, or disease. If you judge and condemn him with thoughts like, "What kind of sin did he commit, which deserves that punishment from God?" then you have to know you're no different from Elihu. Elihu was the same. That's why they were condemning Job. And Elihu was doing the same. Elihu seemed to be right. Because Job was in tribulation and he was in disaster. But according to the word of truth, we learned in tribulation and when someone is in trials, it's because he didn't live by the word. That's why he faced that. But God tells us not to judge according to the words of truth we learned, because there are exceptions. Of course, Job was in trials and he was revealing evil. But actually, Job didn't commit evil. He just had evil inside. But he actually had no reason to face such great disaster. But God treated Job in an extraordinary way. He was giving him some special training. This doesn't happen with ordinary Christians. If some kind of big disaster happened to ordinary Christians, that means they have committed sin. But in Job's case, even though he didn't commit such a great sin, Father God wanted to refine him to a great vessel. That's why Job was... How could man understand God's heart towards Job? You shouldn't judge. You shouldn't judge Job like... Actually, Job didn't do anything wrong in terms of this, but Job was a special case. But Job's friends called him evil, and they were condemning him. We should not do that in our life. And I also want to ask you, we may evaluate others according to the truth. We just measure and evaluate others, but we have to do it ourselves. Evaluate ourselves. We don't say, Father, I didn't commit sin, but you have to look deep in your heart. And you have to figure out the reason that you have the trials came. You have to evaluate and look at yourself and try to discover yourself. And as you look closely at yourself, and you can make your heart sanctified and purified and become His sanctified children. Next, Elihu was enraged with the three friends. He expected them to give proper answers to Job and leave him with nothing to refute. But while they couldn't, they just condemned Job. And Job's friends spoke with Job for a long time, but Job beat them. As Elihu watched them talking, his friends couldn't beat him, couldn't beat Job, even though they spoke a lot of words. That's why Elihu was angry. He saw the three friends engaging in heated arguments and disputes, but not beating Job. Feeling frustrated, he showed anger. In the following verses, we find why Elihu had stayed silent, not joining their conversation. Chapter 32, verses 4 through 6 read, Now Elihu had wanted to speak to Job because they were years older than he, and when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, his anger burned. Elihu, the son of spoke out and said, I am young in years and you are old, therefore I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. Because Job and his friends were older than himself, Elihu couldn't dare to join in the dispute. He tried to bear it. He tried to bear it, but eventually he ended up getting enraged. Until then, the three friends had been unable to enlighten Job. Rather, they were seen as foolish by Job, and their disputes continued. As Elihu couldn't bear to watch it anymore, he joined in their conversation like he was a backseat driver. Brothers and sisters, it's the best not to intervene in an argument that has nothing to do with you. When we have to think according to the truth and speak according to the truth. Otherwise, you cannot be of any help to them but end up entrapping yourselves. Out in the world are people who always intervene in other people's business. They abruptly interfere in others' conversations or tasks. While not understanding their circumstances well, they are quick to rebuke or admonish them. God's children shouldn't do that. Instead, as said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily, and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. We should strive when we hear about others' faults. We should not gossip about that. We should not talk. What should we do? Seeing his faults, you have to look at yourself, whether you also have such areas, and you have to check your heart and deeds. Out in the world, it's the same. Elihu continued to say in chapter 32, verse 7, I thought age should speak, an increased year should teach wisdom. Here, age signifies people were advanced in age, namely those who are prudent and dignified because of their life experience. Increased years has a similar meaning. Year by year, people experience the change of seasons and witness how all things in nature are born, thrive, wither, and die. Thus, increased years refers to people who've watched such changes along. They are those who abound in experiences and wisdom. Here, Elihu was referring to the three friends who are older than him. But Elihu seemingly respected and recognized them for their old age and abundant life experience. He said, like, people who are well advanced in years must have profound wisdom as they lived long. With respect for the He said, like, people who are well advanced in years must have profound wisdom as you've lived long. With respect for three of you, I thought I had to keep you talking. But we can speculate that he would go on to say something negative. In the following verse, Elihu remarked in chapter 32, verse 8, but it is a spirit of man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. The verse indicates that Elihu was a person who knew and believed God. Elihu was aware that there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Man is composed of spirit, soul, and body. We find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 that God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Man was created according to God's image and received the Spirit which bears the seed of life from God. He is a being which holds God-given energy. For this reason, unlike animals, man has longing for eternity. Even those people who say they don't know God acknowledge Him in the depth of their spirit. Since they have at least a vague feeling about the afterlife, they feel scared after committing a sin. When they happen to hear about heaven and hell, they feel anxious. All this demonstrates that the seed of life in them is at work. Regarding this, Elihu remarked, the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Then he said in chapter 32, verse 9, the abundance in years may not be wise, nor may elders understand justice. Earlier, and Elihu, he shared his thought on the disputes among Job and his friends, which he'd heard so far. He meant to say, previously, I assumed that people become wise with aging. Now, based on your disputes, being old doesn't always mean being wise, and having much experience doesn't always mean being able to make right decisions. As Elihu found them to be lesser than himself, he said that his belief that being old means being wise was wrong. Based on the few remarks he made, we can infer that Elihu had a fiery temperament and was hasty in making judgments. As we live our life, when we are peaceful, when we are in deep trouble, we we revealed different aspects of us. We reveal different aspects of us. We speak unrighteous words. We say bad words. And when someone is speaking evil, we as we go through the church trials, my thoughts changed. When someone committed evil, I thought he is a good person by nature, but he is in deep trouble. That's why he is speaking evil and acting evil. When we evaluate a person, but he has been good, but now he's speaking evil. But that shouldn't disappoint us. We shouldn't be disappointed. He's a good person. You have to still think that he's a good person. But when he acts in evil, he is under stress, and it looks like he doesn't have faith, and he is not good. But we shouldn't be disappointed or look away from him. We just try to understand him, saying he's lost the fullness of the Spirit, but he has to recover. Then he would also trust us. As Elihu watched his three friends, he no longer had respect for the elderly. Because people older than him had been talking, Elihu forced himself to be silent to show respect. If they had been young adults around his age, he would have been never silent. As soon as they stopped talking, Elihu started speaking, showing anger. He didn't talk in polite ways. He started talking in anger. Based on that, we can infer that Elihu had a quick temper. He became silent because the three friends were older. But if his three friends were around his age, he would have argued. Nowadays, people don't have as much respect for the elderly, but this is the natural duty of young men. God also said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged." The Word of God is the everlasting, unchanging truth. Therefore, this Word telling us to honor the elderly is also the duty of men we have to keep regardless of time. Even though Elihu had a fiery temperament, because he basically had respect for the older people, he bore to stay silent. But as he couldn't stand it anymore, he began pouring out words. Some of his words were right, but others were wrong. Another important thing was Elihu had to realize his quick-temperedness and change. People often say that one's character cannot be changed, but there is nothing impossible with God. Moses had a fiery temperament by which he murdered an Egyptian, mistreating a fellow Hebrew. But through trials, he changed into an extremely gentle person. Jesus' disciple John was nicknamed a son of thunder due to his fiery temperament, but he changed into an apostle of love as well. Apostle Paul had strong pride and a hot temper, but as he underwent trials after meeting the Lord, he transformed into an apostle of God's power with goodness and abounding love. Since God wants us to imitate His character, in many parts of the Bible, He commanded us to be holy, perfect, patient, gentle, and merciful. God has let us confirm that this is never impossible through our fathers of faith. He also said in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Therefore, please don't say, 'It's impossible for me for this reason.' It's impossible for him. For that reason, I urge you to rely on and trust in God's power, cultivate a beautiful character, and also see other people with the eyes of faith. As we look at others' wrongdoings, we shouldn't think, when will he change? But instead, we have to think, he will change someday. As you trust in God, and as God trusts us and expects us, we have to do the same to others. Then we wouldn't be disappointed by others. Even though someone has shortcomings, we would believe that he would change and fix his shortcomings. And when he changes even a little, we would be pleased. But some people, if this can happen among husband and wife, when one of them has committed a fault and he says, "Sorry, I will do better next time." But and you want your husband or wife to be the best, but you but even though we want to change ourselves, it's difficult to change ourselves completely. We change a little by little, so we have to be pleased with another person's little change, small change. But if you expect two big things of another person, we may be disappointed. We shouldn't do that. If we expect, we have to wait for him to change. This is faith and trust. And to believe is to wait, according to the love chapter. Then why did Elihu say, "The abundant years may not be wise, nor may elders understand justice"? As far as Elihu was concerned, the friends disputing with Job were unable to beat Job despite their old years. This reveals Elihu's character, and we can infer that his thoughts were not deep and his heart not broad. Of course, just because you are old doesn't mean you are wise. The same way, being young doesn't always mean not being wise. In general, adults or the elderly may have more wisdom or capability than young men who lack experiences. But this isn't always the case. At times, we find those young students or youths who are wiser and more considerate than adults. Especially in faith, when even little children love and fear God, they can obtain wisdom from God, and their capabilities can surpass those of adults. For example, as a shepherd boy, David had greater wisdom than the king and his officials, and his faith was great enough to knock down the giant man Goliath. Though he was a shepherd boy, he received outstanding wisdom by loving and fearing God and exerted tremendous capabilities. As for Joseph, even though he was sold into slavery in another country at age 17 with God-given wisdom and understanding, he was loved and recognized by his master and rose to the position next to the king's. As young, Daniel was also taken captive, but because of his outstanding wisdom and understanding, he remained the prime minister even while the country transitioned to a different kingdom several times. Therefore, it isn't true that adults are always wiser than young men. Another thing we have to think about is that as people get older, they come in contact with more secular customs, which means they have more evil planted in them than they were young. People say that we have to live up to our age. For a person to be recognized as an adult, he needs to have qualities befitting his age and show maturity. Young adults, adults, members, you have to keep this in mind. Nowadays, adults try to teach their young people, and young people don't like that. Even though adults try to give good words, give good advice, they speak and they can be hated by the young men. But young adults shouldn't do that. They should have first set a good example, and then and when they teach their children, and they first have to be worthy of respect, and in his relationship with others as well, he has to act in ways befitting his age and position, show sophisticated manners, consideration, and wise judgment. Only then can he win respect. This is the same in our Lord. The longer we live as a Christian, the more we have to imitate our Lord's heart. Even though our Lord was exalted on high as the Son of God, He didn't come to this earth to be served, but rather to serve. Therefore, as you live longer as a Christian, as you rise to the position of a pastor, an elder, or a senior deaconess, you have to try harder to live in the Word. In doing so, you have to humble and sacrifice yourself and serve others. Because Prophet Moses lived in the truth, he got wiser as he got older. Even at age 120, his eyes was not dim, nor his vigor abated. As we can see, whoever wholly lives in the Word is not infiltrated by a disease. As he gets older, he becomes wiser, enjoying good health. Then God would consider him so precious, and he would win great love and respect from others. Therefore, we are to keep in mind that while we need a lot of experience in life, true wisdom and strength solely comes from the fear of the Lord. Adults shouldn't insist, because I'm older than you, you have to show me respect and listen to me. Instead, they have to set a good example in words and deeds so that young men would ask for their counseling and advice. In the church, pastors are assigned to everywhere, and we have pastors in the young adults mission, and there are financial directors as well. When financial directors, someone is appointed as financial directors, he has some recognition in the society, and he also financially helps the members, and he also is in a position to give advice to the members. When someone is praying for marriage, they can also ask for counseling from pastors if someone has received grace from you, he would invite you and call you. You have to first give out the aroma of Christ and give grace to others and set a good example and bear fruit. Then people would call you because they want to receive grace. Just as bees gather around the flowers out in the world, when a boss tries to understand his subordinate, when he is generous, then the boss would be respected, and he can even share the gospel with others. Elihu said in the following verses, "So I say, listen to me, I too will tell what I think. Behold, I waited for your words, I listened to your reasonings, while you pondered what to say. I even paid close attention to you. Indeed, there was no one who refuted Job, not one of you who answered his words." The verses imply that Elihu had waited long for a chance to speak. As Elihu was a lot younger than Job and his three friends, he couldn't dare join in their disputes. Finally, as the three friends became silent, he stepped up and voiced his opinions. And he said, I listened to your reasonings while you pondered what to say. In other words, he was saying, I paid attention to you while you were looking for wise words and arguing. He went on to say, even paid close attention to you. Indeed, there was no one who refuted Job. Here, he meant to say, listening to your conversation intently, no one among you refuted and beat Job. Elihu claimed that as none of them beat Job, he had no choice but to step up. A spiritual lesson we need to draw from here is that when people are talking, we have to be courteous, discerning whether it's time to step up or not. Elihu was waiting because he had respect for the elderly, but this was praiseworthy. Also, when you have to discern when to speak, when to listen, this is being courteous. We shouldn't say whatever comes out of our mouth, neither should we listen to and deliver whatever people say. Oftentimes, we hear worldly people say, I say whatever I want to say, mind your own business. But there are right words and wrong words. There are words okay to say, and there are words not okay to say. Also, we shouldn't use our hands and feet just as we please. We should refrain from seeing wherever our eyes go. Nowadays, in Korea as well, this is a free democracy. So we see whatever you want to see. And adults, some adults say, I watch porn movie because I do it with my own eyes. It's my decision. Worldly people would say that, but you know that it is wrong. It is a sin, and you have to keep your body holy. You have to sanctify and keep your body holy. But worldly people say, because I have my own eyes, it's free to watch them. You have to. We have our lips, but we shouldn't say whatever we want to say. We shouldn't hear whatever we want to hear. We shouldn't be hasty in whatever we do, but practice patience and self-control and pursue the truth. There is order even among beasts, birds, and insects. As we human beings are the Lord of creation, there absolutely has to be courtesy and order among us. We need to have right ways of thinking and a mindset, and our words and deeds have to follow the instruction of the Lord. The Bible says, with it we bless our Lord and the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and curse. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Therefore, we should neither speak nor listen to gossiping words, judging and condemning words. And moreover, if there is a quarrel or conversations of untruth in the sanctuary, we have to know that they serve as an obstacle to God's answers and blessings. We have to fill the sanctuary only with words of glorifying God, words of love and truth, and edifying and encouraging words so that we can become a church that is beautiful and truly lovable in God's sight. Elihu considered, does this mean out of the church we can say whatever we want to say? Our body is the place where the Holy Spirit dwells, so we have to speak only beautiful and good works. Because Elihu considered Job to be in the wrong, he'd expected. Because Elihu considered Job to be in the wrong, he'd expected the three friends to beat him. This is what happens when you have ill feelings. Let's say you have ill feelings against a brother. If you find him arguing with a sister, you take her side. If you have such ill feelings, you get angry when things go against your benefit. And the problem is the sister, even though the sister is wrong, you take sides with her. And you have to know how you have hatred against. You get angry when things go against your benefit, and you disobey when things don't agree with your thoughts. With his feelings provoked, Elihu waited for the three friends to beat Job. And Elihu actually wanted his three friends to defeat Job in the dispute. But as things didn't go as he desired, his feelings were provoked and his anger exploded. You have to find such areas from yourself as well. You may have many ill feelings or irritation and quarrels. You don't need to do that. Because Job had tried his best to pursue goodness, no words of man could awaken him. By the way, Elihu said to the three friends in chapter 32, verse 13, "Do not say, 'We have found wisdom. God will rout him, not man.'" Job's three friends had an awakening, and it was only God who could rout Job. But this young man said to them, like, "Don't draw such a conclusion, for it is not wisdom." Job's friends had a good awakening, and it's only God who gives an awakening to people, and our children, our parents as well, and we cannot. As his friends couldn't beat Job, they said that it was only God who could rout him. And Elihu, as a third party, Elihu listened to the words of Job and his friends and discerned them for himself. As far as he was concerned, the three friends were more proper than Job. For this reason, Elihu was deeply frustrated by his three friends not beating him, and boldly stepped up. But Elihu could not give him an awakening as well. Like his three friends, Elihu didn't have more love and virtues than Job, nor did he have goodness and surpassing knowledge. According to our common sense, Elihu was no match for Job. So how could he have taught Job? For it was only God who had more goodness than Job. In the end, God gave Job an awakening and the strength to change. Brothers and sisters, if you are to teach and awaken someone, your goodness and righteousness have to be better than his. If your child has gone astray and is on the wrong path, you have to discover and fix the areas where you haven't set a good example as parents before rebuking him. As we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, when parents are holy, their children are holy. When parents are unclean, so are their children. When parents set a good example by acting in the truth and walking in the light, the darkness departs from the family, and their children take after them as well. The same goes for relationships between a pastor and his flock and a boss and his subordinate. When a leader admonishes his members while setting a good example, they would follow him out of respect. It's the same when a person advises his friend. When we When we feel that a person who teaches has more goodness and love, we can be moved and change ourselves. Our Lord has renewed and changed us because He is goodness, love, and truth itself. Therefore, we shouldn't be mindful of who is older or higher in position in our families, workplaces, and schools. Having accepted the Lord first, we ought to give out the spiritual light and drive out the darkness. Earlier, I told you that parents have to set a good example for their children. Does this mean that unless parents set a good example, their children can resent them and keep going astray? As the children try harder to live in the light and pray for their parents, at some point, God will move the parents' hearts and change them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world." And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Therefore, I urge you to try harder to keep and abide by the word of God so that you can give off the light and aroma of Christ in your families, workplaces, and wherever you are." Let me conclude the message. Elihu found the three friends frustrating because they failed to awaken Job. So he boldly stepped up to directly give Job an awakening. Since he didn't know about himself, he hastily acted in that way. Before man casts off all forms of evil and come into spirit, they cannot look at themselves accurately, let alone others. So they insist on their self-righteousness and frameworks. They are often self-opinionated and judgmental. Jesus said in chapter 5, verse 5, "You hypocrites, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." While we have evil, if we point out others' faults, it's such a shameful thing. If you feel like when we have to advise with the truth, but until we become perfect, you have to refrain from giving up. If you feel like pointing out others' faults and cannot bear to stay silent, and if you feel uncomfortable when our advice is not accepted, that means we have great evil in us. People they want to give advice, they cannot bear it. They are anxious to give advice. They want to point out others' mistakes or faults, and they think they are qualified to advise another person. And when they don't give advice, they feel so. It's because they have evil. They have disregard for others. They want to teach others. They think of themselves as better than them, and they lack love. Moreover, if we share their faults with others, we are gossiping about and accusing them, which is a greater sin. Thus, we are to realize that people who point out others' wrongdoings have greater evil, and we have to quickly cast off our evil. Only people who have removed such evil and taken out the log from their eyes, namely, only those who have cast off all forms of evil and come to spirit, are qualified to admonish and advise others. As for such people, even when they see a brother's wrongdoing, they don't share it with others or judge and condemn him. Even as they have to give advice to a sister, they first pray, consider her situation, and try their best to understand her. They find an opportune moment and carefully speak to her. Even if she still doesn't accept their advice, given excuses, they don't argue or become upset. They silently back off and just pray for her to have an awakening. Hopefully, looking at how Elihu acted, you can examine how you've acted and change into good and beautiful people whom God truly wants. I pray in the name of the Lord that you would daily reflect upon yourselves in light of the word and become holy without any blemish or spot.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.